Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. Tonight's author on tour is Sophie Kinsella, who reads from and discusses her new novel, Shopaholic and Baby, published by Bantam. In the weeks to come, we have Arthur Agatston, Tracy Chevalier, Rachel Johnson, Jonathan Lethem, Sarah Davidson, and many more. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. On behalf of the Tattered Cover, it's my pleasure to welcome you and to thank you for coming out on this yet again snowy evening. Our guest tonight has taken two of life's great pleasures, reading and shopping, and by blending them, she has become a best-selling phenomenon. With her wildly successful Shopaholic series, there are over 7 million copies of her books in print. Sophie Kinsella gives us a wonderful fun and great writing that has readers hankering for more. Well, now, thankfully, she's back with her fifth Shopaholic book, Shopaholic and Baby, a subject she seems to know quite well. She once loaded up her baby's stroller with so many items at a Christmas fair that there was no room for the baby. So we are delighted to welcome her. She is also the author of Undomestic Goddess and Can You Keep a Secret? We are so glad to have her here in Denver. Please give a warm welcome to Sophie Kinsella.
Hi, can you hear me? Yeah? Thank you so much for coming. It is such a pleasure to be here. And I mean, you struggled here through the snow, so I am really, really appreciative. Thank you to Tattered Cover for hosting this amazing event in this beautiful store. It's just fantastic. Oh, do you need, are you all right with your pod thing? Yeah? Yeah, were you all right? It's just so exciting to be here. It's so exciting to be introducing my new book, which has also got a whole new look. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but they've redesigned the whole range in matching jackets. We love matching jackets. We love new jackets of any description, so I am really, really excited by this. I think it's just beautiful, and they all go in a row, and they just look so lovely. And as I say, thank you so much for coming out here. It's just such a treat to meet real live readers, because, you know, for writers, you spend most of your time alone at your computer, just sort of with your characters, and not really engaging in real life at all and becoming quite a weirdo. So it's quite nice to come out and meet real people. My kids sometimes ask me, you know, Mummy, who reads all your books? And my honest reply is, I don't know. You know, they just go out like little carrier pigeons, and I, for the most part, have no idea where they land. I mean, I always assumed they were read by a bunch of very witty, stylish, erudite, generally superior people. And I was right. So welcome. Yeah, well done you. I do have the best readers. You know, the other authors are really jealous of me. Salman Rushdie's like gnashing his teeth. Why aren't my readers as nice as hers? I do actually know some of my readers because they post on my message forum. And for anyone who wants to join in, it's at sophiekinsella.com. I don't have time to post very often because if I did, I would just be like all day chatting and not writing books. But it's a great place of warmth and fun and friendship and also of debate. And I went to the forum and had a quick skim before I left for this tour. And I came across a reader poll, which I thought I would share with you. Because a bit of a mixed audience, so you'll be particularly interested in this. Can boys read the Shopaholic series by Sophie Kinsella? This is a pressing question. And all the readers voted on this. So I'll share the results with you. Yes, of course, was 36%. Nope, never in a million years. 21%. Maybe it was 36%. And then 5% said, only the cute guys. But I'm looking around, you're all very, very cute. So we're okay there. And in fact, I was mentioning this last night at an event, and this guy came up and said, I love reading your books, but I'm just so embarrassed because the covers are just so pink. So I have to have like the really small ones and have my hands over them. And this made me think, you know, maybe we should release guy covers. Just really like plain, title, very small, and maybe a gun. just right there. So I'll float that by my publishers. The idea tonight is I'm going to talk for a bit, I'm going to read a bit from the new book, and then I'm going to do Q&A. I think the idea is that you ask me the questions and I give you the answers. But I'm quite nosy, so we might make it a bit of a two-way thing. Let's see how it goes. I was doing an event in Britain, actually, and I was kind of halfway through my speech when this woman in her 60s kind of leapt to her feet and said, "Becky Bloomwood made me buy a suitcase," and had sort of shared her shopping confession. And actually, then it pretty much turned into Shopaholics Anonymous. So if anyone feels the need to share, confess, do so. This is a safe space. You won't be judged, I can tell you that. But really what I want to say is a huge thank you to all of you for supporting me and Becky over the years it is now. It seems like a million years ago that I first sat down and started to write Becky Bloomwood, who is, I should sort of say, for those who have just sort of wandered in and wonder what this is all about, she is the heroine of now my 5 Shopaholic books, a flawed, not perfect, but a character that I have grown to love very much over the years that I've been writing her. I've got very, very close to her. And, You heard, I mean, it's done amazingly well. And in hindsight, everybody says to me, "Well, oh, you must have known it would do well. You know, you must have known." And it's just so not the case. I had no idea. As far as I knew, I was just sitting down and writing a story about a girl in West London who liked to shop too much. And I had no idea that it would, you know, appeal to everybody. I can remember thinking, well, you know, I think like this, but I have no idea if anyone else thinks like this, you know. What am I giving away here? And then it turns out everyone else thinks like this. It's just no one ever wrote it in a book before. And I've just been blown away. Becky Bloomwood has gone around the world and been translated into a lot of languages. She's had an academic paper written about her. She's been mentioned on Jeopardy. Oh, my God, I was so proud. I know I'm British, but even I know that's pretty cool. And I was like, okay, that's it. My work is done. I can retire. But the most brilliant moment was recently when somebody on the forum told me that there was a wedding list registered for Becky Bloomwood at Tiffany in real life. I was like, oh, my God. So I quickly, obviously, went to Tiffany.com and, like, tapped her in, and there it was. A wedding list for Becky Bloomwood and Luke Brandon on the right date and everything. And someone had picked out china and glass and everything for her. I was just like, my God, who has done this? And then the really sad thing is I tried to buy her a present. But they wouldn't take my British zip code. But I just really felt, you know what, Becky, I owe you one. You know, have a pair of champagne flutes on me. Really, you're very welcome. I think what overwhelms me about the whole thing is the affection that people have for Becky. You know, they just identify with her. They love her. I get so many letters and emails from people saying, oh, my God, you know, you read my mind, or you must have read my diaries. I am Becky Bloomwood. I was even once in Milan promoting one of the books, and this very well-dressed guy in a sort of very dapper jacket came up, Italian, and just looked at me and said, I am a Becky Bloomwood. I was like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. Well, welcome. Welcome to the crowd. I don't know what it is. I think maybe we all just have foibles like Becky. We're all imperfect. We all get excited by 50% off signs. I mean, I don't care who you are. You do. We all fantasize about meeting celebrities and they become our best friends. Don't we? Okay, well, maybe that's just me. I do. All the time. And this book was really special to write. I think partly because I had just had a baby before I wrote it, so it was all very fresh in my mind. I should point out I didn't have the baby just to research the book. I'm not quite that crazy. In fact, I mentioned my kids earlier on, and I'm lucky. I do have a very supportive, amazing family without which I really couldn't do what I'm doing. I have 2 older boys who are old enough now to kind of understand what I do and to try and get involved. And actually, they started making suggestions, which is interesting. They've suggested I write about pirates. They've suggested I write about James Bond. I haven't taken any of these on. And then recently, they suggested a couple of new titles for the Shopaholic series, which are very interesting. I'll share them with you. The first was Shopaholic Blows Up. The next was Shopaholic Fights Darth Vader with a Lightsaber. And actually, I could see Becky with a pink lightsaber. I'm not ruling this one out. I think it could be quite cool. I'm seeing the promotional lightsabers, and I'm getting excited. So, you know, watch this space. And then I have my baby, who's not really old enough to get involved, but he's well old enough to chew up manuscript, and also to sit on my knee while I'm on the phone with his finger on delete. Oh, my God, this literally happened. I looked up, and my words were just disappearing. So I've learned not to mix him with writing. And then there's my husband, who is very, very supportive. And I have to say, it's quite a tough call being married to somebody who writes romantic comedy for a living. I spend my whole life upstairs in my room creating these wonderful worlds, wonderful heroes who are witty and articulate and always say the right thing at the right time with the right smouldering look or the raise of the eyebrow or whatever it is. And I've got this all in my head. And then I come downstairs. And what can I say? The bar is quite high. And my poor husband knows he can't compete with these perfect guys. And the worst thing is I always want to rewrite his dialogue. We're in the middle of a discussion. I'm like thinking, no, that's not what you should be saying. Don't say that, say this. And I'm like writing it out. Okay, go for the top. This is what you say. You look rumpled and sexy and you raise an eyebrow. And the poor guy, he does kind of go along with it. He's very... It's true. You know, he reads my books. He knows me. He enjoys the spirit of them. And he knows that I have my Becky moments. He even identifies them. We were on holiday recently, and I found this shop selling embroidered cashmere shawls. And I don't know if anyone read the first book where Becky Bloomwood has a luggage moment, and she suddenly discovers luggage. It's like, oh my God, luggage! Why have I never bought luggage? And I had this moment with shawls. I was like, oh my God, shawls! Why have I never bought shawls? They're great! You just sling them on, and I can buy several, and, you know, I'll transform all my outfits. And my husband just looked at me and said, and people will call you the girl in the cashmere shawl. And I went, yes! And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I am Becky Bloomwood. This is so embarrassing. But I did buy 3 shawls, and I haven't worn them yet. Anyway, so this is the new book, and I am really, really excited about it. I think ever since Becky Bloomwood really got an engagement ring, it's been at the back of my mind that one day she might have a baby. And I didn't want to have her... I mean, a lot of people wrote to me, I have to say, after Shopaholic Ties the Knot, like, oh, when's Becky going to have a baby? And it was, you know, obviously in people's minds. But I didn't want it to happen too soon. I thought there was other stuff she could do. But having done all sorts of things in Shopaholic and Sister, discover a long-lost sister and go on honeymoon and all sorts of adventures, I thought, you know what, Becky, you know, the time could be right. And it's just such a fabulous subject for anybody who's into shopping. I mean, anyone who's been pregnant knows that basically pregnancy and shopping are the same thing. Well, in my case, they were. They said, oh, pregnancy consists of 3 trimesters. And in my case, it was the first trimester, and then it was the shopping trimester, and then it was the online shopping trimester. Because that's the stage when you can't get out of the house and you're like, oh, God, I need more matching accessories for my nursery. It's not matching enough, you know. Those nurseries are the most matching rooms in the world. Your whole house is like normal, and then there's this room where the curtains match, the crib matches, the rug matches, the border. It's like, you go berserk. I really think pregnancy shopping is in a whole other league from other shopping, and I don't know what it is. I think it's partly the love for your child, and you have to express it somewhere, and then it's the panic, like you're in this new world and you don't know what to buy. You know, you've got this range of gadgets and equipment, and you're just dazzled, so you just buy everything. I mean, the manufacturers know this, and I really sort of picked this up when I was pregnant. They make it seem like you have no choice. You know, if you don't buy this set of DVDs, your baby won't be a genius. Your choice. God! If you don't buy this, I don't know, electronic light show, your baby will be bored and hate you. And you get so freaked out, you just buy it all. You're like, you know, I'll just have everything. And it's not even for yourself, is it? So it's not, you know, indulging yourself. It's a selfless act for your unborn child. That's the way I saw it. Actually, the way I saw it was, honey, it's research. It's all research. And then, of course, there's the hormones. You know, if my husband questioned anything, it was like practically the end of our marriage. It was like, you weren't supposed to ask me if we need another bouncy chair. You were supposed to say, darling, have as many bouncy chairs as you like because you are the mother of my child and I will love you forever. I wrote it out for you. I mean, the poor guy. So I knew if I went crazy, Becky would go a bit crazy. But the book is, I have to say, oh my God, what have I done? Is about more than the shopping, even though the shopping is quite fun. It's a really, the story is Becky and Luke and their relationship and their marriage coming under threat for the first time. I'm a real believer in not giving away like the whole plot, but the gist of it is that Becky obviously wants everything to be perfect for her and the birth and the baby and, you know, and she hears about this super cool obstetrician to the stars. So, of course, she has to rush off to this trendy celebrity doctor, only to discover that the doctor is Luke's ex-girlfriend. Not good. Tall, glamorous, intellectual, knows how to speak Latin, knew Luke way before Becky did. So things get a little dicey, and poor old Becky is neurotic, paranoid, growing ever larger, you know, gets actually a bit vulnerable and a bit emotional. And I think there were bits in this that she does have some tough times, and I found it really hard to write these bits because I love her so much that when anything goes wrong, I'm like, oh no, you know, in floods of tears. I really do. When things are funny, I laugh, and when things are bad, I cry, and I come downstairs and, you know, absolutely weeping. But she has magical moments with Luke. I think it's you know, a really special book from that point of view, I think, with her relationship, and I just really hope you enjoy it. I loved writing it, and I really wanted to do Becky justice. I thought, you know, this is a big step in her life, and I really want to pull this one off, and I hope I did, and I hope you enjoy it. And I'm going to read a little snippet from the first chapter, which is the scene where Becky and Luke have gone for the scan. Now, Becky obviously is desperate to know what sex the baby is because, you know, which direction is the shopping going? Is it going pink? Is it going blue? You know, are we going for flowers? Are we going for trucks? But Luke doesn't want to know. He thinks, you know, they should wait and it should be a lovely surprise at the birth and that way it's more magical. So Becky has reluctantly agreed. You know, she loves Luke. She doesn't want to upset him. So they're going to wait for the birth. Except now, Luke and the sonographer have left the room so that Luke can make a phone call. And they've left Becky alone with the ultrasound equipment, which was a big mistake. Here we go. I'm alone. The computer's still on. The ultrasound probe thing is resting next to the monitor. I could just reach over and... No, don't be silly. I don't even know how to use an ultrasound. And besides, it would spoil the magical surprise. If Luke wants us to wait, then we'll wait. I shift on the couch and examine my nails. I can wait for things. Of course I can. I can easily. Oh, God! No, I can't. Not until December. And it's all right there in front of me. And nobody's about. I'll just have a teeny peek. Just really quickly. And I won't tell Luke. We'll still have the magical surprise at the birth. Except it won't be quite so much of a surprise for me. Exactly. Leaning right over, I manage to grab the ultrasound stick. I apply it to the gel on my stomach, and at once the blurry image reappears on the screen. I did it! Now I just have to shift it slightly to get the crucial bit. Frowning with concentration, I move the probe around on my abdomen, tilting it this way and that, craning my neck to see the screen. This is a lot easier than I thought. Maybe I should become a sonographer. I'm obviously a bit of a natural. There's the head. Wow, it's huge. And that bit must be... My hand freezes and I catch my breath. I've just spotted it. I've seen the sex of our baby. It's a boy. The image isn't quite as good as the sonographer's, but even so, it's unmistakable. Luke and I are going to have a son. Hello, I say aloud to the screen, my voice cracking slightly. Hello, little boy. And now I can't stop the tears rolling down my cheeks. We're having a gorgeous baby boy.
I can dress him up in cute overalls and buy him a pedal car, and Luke can play cricket with him, and we can call him... Oh, my God, what are we going to call him? I wonder if Luke would go for Birkin. Then I could get a Birkin to be his nappy bag. Birkin Brandon. That's quite cool. Hi, little baby, I croon gently to the big round head on the screen. Do you want to be called Birkin? What are you doing? The sonographer's voice makes me jump. She's standing at the door with Luke, looking appalled. That's hospital equipment. You shouldn't be touching it. I'm sorry, I say, wiping my eyes, but I just had to have another quick look. Luke, I'm talking to our baby. It's just amazing. Let me see. Luke's eyes light up, and he hurries across the room, followed by the sonographer. Where? I don't care if Luke sees it's a boy and the surprise is ruined. I have to share this precious moment with him. Look, there's the head, I point. Hello, darling. Where's its face? Luke sounds a bit perturbed. Dunno, round the other side. I give a little wave. It's Mummy and Daddy here, and we love you very... Mrs. Brandon, the sonographer cuts me off. You're talking to your bladder. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod-tuned in the coming weeks for Arthur Agatston, Tracy Chevalier, Rachel Johnson, Jonathan Lethem, Sarah Davidson, and many more as we podcast Authors on Tour. This podcast was originally recorded on February 28th, 2007.